First Rand's reported a 5% rise in normalized interim earnings, largely lifted by FNB's growth in customer numbers, which helped the unit grow its profits by a similar margin. In the meantime, First Rand has pointed out that there's been a material slowdown in its local operations since the beginning of this year and expects the macroeconomic environment to continue deteriorating. This evidenced in the sharp rise in bad debts during the half-year period, and company CEO Alan Pullinger joins us now with greater perspective on those numbers released today. Thanks so much, Alan, for joining us in studio this evening. So a 5% rise in first half profit ahead of your rivals, and while you are expecting to miss earnings targets, many surprised that you're anticipating positive earnings nevertheless. So what keeps you in the black?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is the halfway mark, so we were trying to give some decent guidance around the full year, only because the markets are so fluid and a lot of stresses that are out there in the economy. So we're trying to give some guidance. We're trying to say the full year, June 90 to June 20 will be positive. But one of the objectives that we set for ourselves as a management team is to be able to deliver what we call a real growth in earnings. So that would mean, real GDP plus GDP inflation, or some people would refer to CPI. So whatever that is, we would like to at least deliver that. Now, we've achieved that in the first half, but what we're guiding is for the full year, we are not going to make that target.
Yeah.
So it is a disappointment. I mean, we are trying hard. What we did guide, though, is that year-on-year earnings will be positive. Okay, so, we still will project growth, but it's going to fall short of that. And again, it's just a function of the state of the economy and, to be honest, the financial health of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, the slowdown that we're seeing and the stresses, we're seeing it pretty much across our whole customer base. So both from retail into sort of micro, small business, SME, into commercial, and then even into corporate. I mean, there are a lot of corporate stresses that are out there, and you've seen kind of some of them are well publicized. So I think all of those things sort of play into non-performing loans. I don't want to get into technical IFRS stuff. Let's leave the technical stuff out of it. But clearly we do have credit models which anticipate a lot of these things and then project non-performing loans.
I guess a lot of the surprise or the skepticism even in some quarters around you managing to garner positive earnings arises from the fact that this is in a context of, as we've highlighted, a rapidly deteriorating economic environment that's seeing rising bad debt levels. I mean, impairments up 18%, nothing to scoff at. And like you say, it's becoming apparent across the board now, especially if you're looking at your retail operations, FNB. I mean, you've got a 5% growth, far less than the 13% growth that was recorded in 2018, which makes managing that exposure a lot more tricky. So do you have a handle on things?
Yeah. So just remember, this new accounting regime definitely accelerates your provisions. So moving away from IAS 39 to IFRS 9 certainly brings those forward. And so you would anticipate credit losses and NPLs rising a lot faster now with these models. So that was one of the objectives around IFRS 9, is they wanted to make sure this recognition happens much earlier, mm-hmm. kind of in this journey. I mean, we're very much on top of it. I mean, there's a couple of portfolios which are showing some stress, as we speak specifically about credit card, or we speak about some personal loans. But remember, those portfolios are also priced for stress. So although you're seeing rising impairments, they are still profitable, even where the losses are currently printing. So again, it's something that we're on top of. It's something that we think we will see probably normalize over the next sort of 12, 18 months. And a number of risk cuts have already been put in, mm-hmm. around customer affordability. But for us, it's more sort of an indication that customers are under pressure.
How does that translate, Alan, to you extending loans down the line? Because those stress tests are going to be a lot more vigorous.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I suppose we're in a different regime now, because we have now affordability tests that one has to stick to. We've also got sort of IFRS accounting models. So, and I think what a lot of this is showing us now is that customer affordability is under pressure. We're seeing it in our vehicle finance business, WesBank, mm-hmm. you mentioned. There's no doubt our acceptance rate of offers for finance, you know, the bank accepting it, you know, that is on a decline. So we are seeing lots and lots of little data points where financing terms are being extended. So NPLs are rising. We don't think that we are going to see a big blowout of NPLs, only because it's a very different macroeconomic cycle. It's not rate driven. You know, it's not high interest rates. It's just low income growth.
Absolutely.
Very, very low income growth.
What that does, though, is put in the spotlight and bring to the forefront just how much support can be derived then from your non-interest revenue growth. You've seen that filtered through. You've seen transactional volumes help support earnings thus far. Is that speaking naturally to the market share you're gaining or not necessarily?
Yeah, I think to some extent. We've also had to give, you know, we've done some give backs. Certainly on the fee and commission line, so we've bought some much better value propositions to certain segments. So we've launched something called an Easy Zero, which is a sort of an entry-level transactional account, very well priced. And we've also launched something called Business Zero, which deals sort of with those micro businesses. Both of those, I have to say, are probably in response to competitive pressures. So the competitive environment is also picked up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a good time, I think, to be a consumer because I think you've got choice. Banks are having to sharpen their pencils in terms of their propositions, and so we have flagged for some time that we think banking fee and commission revenue would come under pressure, not just because of the macros, but I think also because of competition, regulation, mm-hmm. this whole digital world. You know, it is different, and hence some of our strategies to diversify those sources of revenues. So our sort of build out of insurance, it's a big part of our strategy at the moment, and then save and invest,
yeah.
Asset management and the like.
Okay, those are some of the levers at your disposal to make up, I guess, for where you are feeling pressure right now. How much CapEx are you putting to work in the remainder of this year?
So our growth strategies are really around insurance, a little bit of save and invest, but primarily probably insurance. You know that we got a short-term insurance license, so that's hopefully we want to launch those products during this calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
We're still investing into our businesses in sub-Saharan Africa, so quite a lot of money going into those. We're investing into our digital platforms, so this journey towards a sort of data-driven, digital sort of contextual platform. I'm sure you've heard lots of spoken about that, but for us, that's a big source of investment. And then we're investing in our business in the UK as well. So, you know, the integration of the two businesses that we've got there, there's some platform investment going in. So still quite a lot of investment. I mean, I'm not going to quantify it for you, but it's hundreds of millions.
Let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Alan, for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that FirstRand CEO, Alan Pullinger.